Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall, and I'm here with my guys, Robbie and Mike. What's going on, fellas? How's it going?
Not much, man. Doing good, doing good. How you doing, Robbie?
Doing a lot better than the Team USA basketball team getting spanked by some Frenchies. But I'm doing
and
okay.
Croatians. They got beat twice.
Yeah, they did, man. I mean, people keep saying they only had two All-Stars. Like, I'm not going to lie. At max, other teams have two NBA players. So it's like, what? It shows teamwork makes the dream work. All right. This, you got to have that teamwork. Like we have. Got to have that teamwork amongst the troops.
LeBron, where you at? Get your boys. They need help.
Right.
So we got a good show lined up. We got some new Yeezys to talk about, some questionable Yeezys to talk about, and a lot of Adidas stuff going on, and then Puma's like stepping up. So before we get into it, I wanted to give a shout out to Rodimus 76 for the review on iTunes. Favorite sneaker podcast. I wish the sound was better, but overall, this is a great podcast. If you're into sneakers, do yourself a favor and please subscribe. We appreciate the feedback. We're always trying to improve the audio. We are using a newer system, platform, whatever, to record. So hopefully the newer episodes are better for everybody. And, you know, as we continue to add people on Patreon, we'll use that money to update and improve our systems and our, you know, mics and all of these things. So we appreciate everybody's support, whether it's a review or becoming a member on our Patreon page. Thank you all. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Now that business is out of the way, where you guys want to start?
Well, you know what? Before we get started, I like to thank Kobe Bryant for coming out and showing some competitive nature to these kids out in the streets. He needs to write a book on child rearing, but that's beside the point.
I second that. I mean, that could start a real tangent. There was some dad from the other team, like, hating on Vanessa Bryant, his wife. Like, oh, Kobe has no sportsmanship. It's like, Kobe didn't name any 8-year-olds by name. He didn't have pictures of the other team. His team lost the year before, so he was just celebrating that victory. And yeah. Dad getting all salty. It's like, it's you sports people. Let parents be excited about their kids and the parents of the losing children, don't be sore losers. You got to set an example. Just keep it moving. That's my coaching / parenting advice.
So to go a little further on this tangent, my first job was as a little league umpire. And
what?
And yeah, I was like 14, 15. You know, I did landscaping for like a family friend, like worked, you know, side job kind of thing when I was like 13, 14. But my first like actual job outside of like, you know, paid under the table in, you know, in like Taco Bell was, the umpiring little league games. And parents are freaking crazy, man. I mean, your kids are out there like 7, 8 years old. And you're trying to argue balls and strikes. You're trying to argue with parents on the other side of the baseball diamond. It was nuts. So as much as I respect Kobe and appreciate that he's bringing a little competitiveness to the fifth grade girls in Southern California, it's also like, chill, fam, chill. But on that note, I did see, I hope you guys saw, I think ESPN or somebody, maybe even Kobe posted it, him in a dance recital.
Yeah, he posted it. That was fantastic to see.
Robbie rushes to phone.
So basically, Kobe comes out, roasts on an Instagram post, roasts a bunch of, 7 or 8 year olds. One of them bailed on a game for a dance recital. And, Kobe being Kobe essentially was like, you're choosing your path now. And, if you're not going to sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing and I'm totally off. But basically, he was like telling these like little girls to get their shit together and commit to basketball. And the internet kind of was like, at first it was like, yeah, you tell them. And then it was like, wait, what the hell? Like, there was a lot of going back and forth trying to understand what the hell Kobe was talking about. Because on one hand, you want the kids to just be able to play and enjoy themselves. But on the other hand, if kid's going to be a professional athlete, that's when it starts, is fifth or sixth grade, So, but then Kobe, I don't know if Robbie's found it, but Kobe came back and rolled himself under the bus.
Watch it right now.
I mean, my heart is so big right now. It's so funny. One of the comments says, can't imagine you thinking about anything or doing anything other than basketball. This is awesome. And that's so true. Like the whole Kobe like persona is just like killer basketball mentality. And this dude's out here hitting it like almost like kids at play. It's perfect. It's hysterical.
That was it. But apparently, I think reading through the comments and stuff from Kobe, I think that little girl who didn't play because of a dance recital actually was on the team again this year. And when that 115-20 like beat down. So I think she returned. I think she gave up dancing. It's like, I'm sorry, Kobe. That's my bad.
That's even crazier.
That's why they won. Little Tiffany got her tiptoe basketball game on. I don't know.
Speaking of Kobe's influence, what's up with D'Lo and Kuz potentially signing with Puma?
I mean, they're off in bags.
It's all about the fans, man.
Yeah, man. Puma's out here trying to like throw money at people at this point. I mean, it must be working because they survived the whole season. They're looking to the next season, trying to get bigger, more influential stars, and Kyle Kuzma, D'Angelo Russell, two really prominent franchises. Slap some Pumas on them. I mean, we already saw D'Lo, Robbie pointed out earlier, in all Puma gear in the hitting the gym. So.
The Warriors have a rich history of having players from different shoe brands all on the same team. So Puma with D'Lo, Draymond with Nike, Clay with Anta, and obviously Steph with Under Armour. I think that's always really cool. It's these players, and I think a lot of young NBA players are starting to think this way. If you're not going to get a signature shoe, who's going to give you the most money? Because I feel like Kuzma and D'Lo both know they're never going to get a signature shoe from Adidas or Nike. Maybe they could. Like if Gordon Hayward got a shoe, I think anybody could get a shoe, if we're being real. If you have like enough talent, and I think those two men do. It's just keep trying to secure the bag.
Yeah, well, I mean, shoot. It's crazy. I mean, the only weird thing is Kyle Kuzma, he had this weird deal going on with, I guess he was signed by Nike, but also had a secondary deal with Stadium Goods? One of those guys. GOAT. And I guess it, yeah, GOAT. There it was. He had a deal with GOAT. where he can pretty much wear any, you know, old Nike out the vault, rare item he wanted. But I feel like he didn't really push that one to his fullest potential. I don't know if he was maybe kind of strung up by some stipulations of what he could and couldn't grab, but I feel like he didn't take full advantage of that deal.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't know the details of that GOAT deal, you know, fully, but I do think that for both of them, it was kind of a missed opportunity. And it's tough because, you know, a lot of these guys don't want to be wearing old retros all the time either. So I totally can see how it would be a tough deal to kind of pull together. Now, if you did that this year and you have Foot Locker backing GOAT and you can pull whatever off the Foot Locker shelves and you can pull whatever off the GOAT shelves or, you know, like State or Flight Club shelves. I mean, you pretty much have access to anything new and old between those three brands working together at this point. So it could be that it was just mismanaged. And, you know, it's one of those things where it was so, I mean, it was so kind of advanced, you know, nobody had really done that in the sneaker space. And I think that, you know, you live and learn. I think the next time around when they try to do something like that, it'll be much better.
Yeah, well, I definitely you're right on that. And I know that at least with Kuzma, it's kind of a weird time because they just, that undefeated pack, you know, was associated, that Laker pair was associated with him. And I mean, I guess you can't pick when your contract's going to be up, but I know that if he signs the offer sheet with Puma, Nike has 10 days to match. So we got to, maybe it's just a power play by Kuzma because he knows he's going to be getting more screen time, more playing time. And he's going to try to get a better deal. He maybe feel like he can leverage Puma because they're offering, you know, pretty solid money for players now.
What's crazy in the Kuzma example is that you underneath the Laker banner and subsequently the Kobe banner, like, I get wanting more money, but in the same breath, I would rather play in the best basketball shoes there are. Like in my book, pound for pound, the Kobe line year in and year out doesn't get much better than that. So why go? I mean, I still think there's a stigma, maybe not a stigma, but there's definitely a step down in terms of like basketball recognition with footwear when it comes to Nike versus Puma. Like if I was playing for the Lakers and I was young, I'd want a Nike contract. Like you're getting the whole hoop dream in one. And these young players are kind of just letting that go by the wayside for the pursuit of more money. And that's awesome. Like money, cash talks, like bullshit walks, but like, it's really surprising that Nike isn't able to retain as thick of a roster of thick team players.
Well, I think that the challenge is that, right? Like a lot of these guys just don't want to be team players in the basketball sense of the term, but in the sneakerhead sense of the term, right?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the real thing is that these guys need to have people around them that know how to market them. And I'm not saying like Kuzma should be selling Pepsi or whatever, but here in LA, Kuzma's everywhere. I mean, he's in advertisements all over the place. And I think whoever his team is, you know, aggressively, you know, making the money from his fame right now. And, you know, props to them for that. I think that the Puma side of all of this is really interesting because there's a lot of old school, like sneaker business people behind the scenes at Puma. And it's no surprise that a lot of these guys are going to Puma and they're able to steal these people away from the other brands because a lot of the people can say, oh yeah, I did this at that brand. I did this at this brand. And that's a selling point. You know, once you know how the business works, you're at an advantage to even like Nike, right? I would imagine that, you know, you have and I'm not saying that Kuz or D'Lo are on this level, but like you're kind of entry level athlete, you know, endorsed athlete at Nike, probably has a very young account manager. You know, Kuz might get to meet with, you know, Phil Knight once in a, or Tinker once or whatever in passing, but it's more just to sell him on the idea of Nike. It's not like an ongoing relationship where, you know, the kind of team players in a sense are at Nike are almost like, you know, pushed aside, and there's no real royalties money from having, you know, their personal logo on a pair of Hyperdunks or whatever that is. So I can see the kind of struggle of like, no, I want to be bigger and I want to be my own thing. But like Nike, you know, Nike's got LeBron, you know, like who are you to think that you can compete with LeBron on that level of things? Right. But it's kind of interesting because I wrote something on Sneaker History a few years back about John Wall. And I basically said, you know, this is when his deal with Reebok or Adidas, I think, was kind of on the final stages, and he was moving away from Adidas, or at least that's what the thought was going to be, because they did the whole like Reebok basketball is gone, now you're going to move to Adidas. And I felt like he just felt like he was underserviced as an athlete. And he had this kind of crazy little string of free agency where he was wearing Jordans and wearing a bunch of crazy stuff. But it was my like thought still to this day. And I would love to talk to some of the people that I know at Foot Locker to understand where this happened. But like, I was under the impression that Foot Locker should sign somebody like John Wall back then. Granted, this is like, you know, 3 years or whatever, 2015. I think it's beginning of the 2015-2016 season. So, you know, 4 years, like Kuzma's the closest thing that's happened with the GOAT deal last year. And I think that the right person and the right marketing team would be able to capitalize on a player of that stature to be able to use all of the stuff that Foot Locker has access to. And now that the three that, you know, Foot Locker, Flight Club, and GOAT are all under the same kind of umbrella, there's even more power for them to do that. And that to me is even more appealing than a deal with Puma, where I like the Puma shoes. Like I actually just been wearing the Meek Mill shoes. The Puma Clyde Court. And it's super comfortable. I'm actually surprised. I haven't played in it yet, but I think that it's one of those things where if they feel good about the off court stuff from Puma, then more power to them signing with Puma, because that's where you're really going to benefit, you know, your own personal brand off the court is like the stuff that you're going to wear. Now it could be something where, you know, like Reebok's deal with Allen Iverson, AI still gets to wear Jordans and Air Force Ones and stuff. It might not be ideal for Reebok, but it's one of those things where you're not going to lock somebody up, you know, 24/7 into your product, even when it's somebody as like dedicated to the brand and lifelong contract and all that stuff as AI. So with Kuz, I think it'd be, I hope that there's still a possibility for him to do the GOAT Foot Locker Flight Club thing. But I don't know. I mean, Puma has been making some crazy moves, so it might just be that they've got, you know, more stuff, you know, waiting in the wings to take it to the next level again.
Yeah, guess we just have to see.
You still have to see. That's what matters. With Nike, even if you're a team player, you still get hot stuff. Like,
yeah,
Nick, yeah. You were just saying like it's. For their brand, it's more what they can wear off the court. And I'm sorry, Puma just doesn't have the repertoire that Nike or Adidas has to offer.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I love Puma stuff, but it's definitely not a, it's not on the like hype level, you know, with the Off-White stuff or the Yeezy stuff, but I don't know. It's a really cool time, in my opinion, for sneakerheads to just be able to see all this stuff going on and have a bunch of different players out there going from, you know, playing in different brands and all the brands being, you know, forced to be more competitive. But I guess speaking of some off-court stuff, Pusha T's $7.47. What was it, $7.47?
$7.57.
$7.57 Adidas Oswego's. That's so crazy.
Man, and they look perfectly clean. It's Pusha T shoes, so they're always sort of perfectly clean. This apparently was a friends and family that was released at this place called Cream out in Philly in Norfolk, which he's from Virginia, so makes sense. I mean, Adidas did it again. They started with the Arizona iced tea for pack for 99 cents in New York that got shut down, but this one seemed to go in a pretty orderly fashion. I guess because a lot of people, school's back in season, so everyone's back in school, which is kind of funny because Pusha T was responding back to people on Twitter just during a whole release, and there was one kid's like, man, I really wanted to get them, but I was in school, sucks. And Pusha T had the most classic response, who still goes to school? That was pretty funny.
It's like it's the Kobe mentality.
Right? Don't sell drugs out of a brown paper bag. Stay in school.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, I don't know. I think that the release is super dope. I think that it's dope that they're doing this in like a localized area close to his hometown, right? So, but it is crazy to think that parents are probably like, damn, kids are skipping school to buy the shoes, and the rapper that they're looking up to get the shoes is telling them just why are they going to school. Parents are probably just having fits about it if they know that their kids are out there trying to get these shoes.
Well, let's be fair, if the parents realize who Pusha T was, they should know he's nobody's role model,
right? Very true.
Good point. I mean, Yeah. I'm just, if they knew one of his shoes came in like a Pyrex bag, I mean, come on, we know what's happening there.
How funny would it be if you're like in your 40s and you have a teenage kid and you see like the line in front of that Philly store and you see your kid there and he's supposed to be at school. So you call him and you're like, Jimmy, you're not supposed to be there. Give me a size 12 and then go to school.
That sounds like something I would do, but we won't tell my wife that.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. But so I guess speaking of role models or not role models, I don't know where Yeezy falls, where Kanye West falls on the scale for people at this point. But he's obviously got some interesting things in the works. Mike, since you seem to be so into these shoes, I'm going to let you talk about them.
Now, Nick, do not lie to people out there like this. I don't know. What are these things called again? The foam runners? Like, these things are ugly. I don't care who you are. And if I swear, if you clown anybody wearing Crocs and you wear these, your sneakerhead card should be revoked. These are terrible. This has to be a troll. He is selling you some styrofoam and you're going to pay $250 for them probably.
Right. I think Kanye was getting too stoned and watching too much Twin Peaks because they look like the visual representation of that voice, like the rah, rah, like the alien voice. They can't understand like what the shoe looks like. That's what homie's dripped in, is that shoe. Or like if Zelda was on crack, like Link. I can see a crackhead like wearing like a green t-shirt and these on, and it's like scratching himself. Sorry, that's weird. But yeah, They're weird.
It's like the Tyrone Bigum's signature shoe right there.
I mean, now that, yes. Now that, that. Yeah. Yes. Now that's an idea. Yeah, these are crazy. I'm not a fan of Crocs. I think that it's kind of funny that they're like able to do like the collabs with Post Malone and some of these other people where I get it. Like people just want to have some chill, you know, shoes to wear around. But I mean, for me, it's like house shoes or something, you know, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just like too old school or something, but if I'm going to wear some, I'm either wearing like some slides or I'm wearing house shoes. I don't need some weird combination that looks ugly. So, but
what's funny about Crocs is that like we got the SpongeBob collab from Nike and the SpongeBob Timberland collab, but on the real, the first collab was SpongeBob was Crocs, because you can put like the little pins in your Crocs.
Yep.
And I remember seeing SpongeBob ones. So SpongeBob, the real OG of collabs with those shoes.
No, those don't count. Those aren't real. Those don't count.
Oh, they count. I see that. Hella Walmarts. That's just like, okay, how about this? Would you rather wear the Shaq shoes, like the fake Air Jordan 12 Shaq shoes, or a pair of Crocs in your color of choice?
Shaq shoes for the win, please.
Shaq shoes would just be like childhood again for me, so I'm good with that.
Right. I mean, I might have to go Croc. I can't wear the Shaq shoe. I'm too big.
I was just going to say, on the other hand, you got Yeezy showing his I mean, kind of genius in a sense with the basketball shoes. So I don't know what to even think about all this stuff right now.
Man, I guess one had to suffer for the other one to thrive, because God, like there's just two different spectrums. You have these awesome looking basketball shoe and you have this, I don't know, this monstrosity that, first of all, the ad weirded me out because it's like two people on a scooter with these things on, and you guys are thinking I'm weird and God, it's going to sound terrible, but I swore that the man and the lady were the same person. It was just the man with the wig on the back of the scooter.
That's real.
I'm just saying, sorry to the models, but I swear when at first glance I thought it was the same person. I was like, well, all right, this is weird, but the shoe is too, so makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's something different, and that's what the Yeezy line keeps doing. I hate it or love it, go find another silhouette that looks like that. You're not going to. So I just love that. Like, I can see Jaylen Brown playing in these, or now mostly Jaylen Brown is what came to mind. It's just like young, hip, athletic. And that's kind of what the vibe I'm getting from the Yeezy basketball. I mean, it's tuned up with Boost. That's always a win. I'm for it. I like the 3M underlay, but above all, it's just like, it's going to be way more comfortable than a retro Jordan on foot. It's going to feel like light. I see there's a lot of fusing going on it, so it looks really thin in a good way. I'm excited to see what it looks like on the hardwood underneath the bright lights.
You already know PJ Tucker's going to be the first one to wear them.
No, I mean,
Jaylen Brown's going to get second in line. Is he signed to Nike, or he just likes Nikes?
That's a good
no, because he was at the Harden release, right?
Well, they're teammates.
Oh, there you go.
Friends. I would hope so.
But you can't show up to other people's brand stuff, can you? I don't know. This is me asking a legitimate question at this point.
As teammates, I would think so. But PJ has his own, like, I don't know if they released, but he has his own like logo and everything with Nike. I like to think they're not doing
okay.
For everybody. Being all slutty, I'm saying, but
what the heck? No, because then one of those complex conversations that he was saying that he didn't want to what he didn't want to sign to his shoe because he didn't want to wear the same shoes every game or something. I can't remember the exact quote, so I could be wrong. Maybe talking about signatures. But I remember him saying something along the lines like he didn't want to wear the same shoe. He like basically tied up to one thing every game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what his contract situation is like, but I think that to your question about being able to show up, it is kind of weird if you're a Nike guy to show up to an Adidas launch party. That's probably not going to make anybody at Nike happy. Like I personally look at any kind of events like that where even if I'm just, if I know that I might be talking to people from a brand, I always wear that brand's product. Like if I would go to trade shows, like I would take 5 or 6 different pairs. I would swap shoes, you know, and have a pair in my backpack at times. Like if I knew I was going to go to Adidas and talk to Adidas, I would not show up wearing Nikes or Reeboks. And if I was going to talk to Reebok, I would show up wearing Reebok as much as possible. Like sometimes it's just you run into people and you can't control that. But I think that it's just respectful, right? It's not about the competition necessarily, but it's one of those things where if you, you know, want to do business with those people, you want to be kind of showing that you're supporting those people and, you know, representing their brand as already, right? So it's two-sided, right? Because there's the whole story of, you know, Shaq showing up to Nike for his meetings with Nike before he, you know, right before he started in the league wearing all Reebok because he'd already like mentally, you know, essentially committed to Reebok and showed up in his, you know, jumpsuit and, you know, pumps to Nike meetings, which, you know, Shaq is a different conversation altogether, right? Nobody's going to carry, especially back then, nobody's going to carry as much clout as Shaq did. So he could get away with it. I think if PJ Tucker does have a contract with Nike and he was at that Adidas event, because I'm pretty sure he was even wearing Adidas, but I might be wrong. To me, people at Nike are going to have a problem with that.
Yeah. At Nike, like at the employee store, they won't let you in if you're wearing another brand. Like straight up, they won't let you on.
Wait, in the store.
Yeah. It's like it says on there. It says like at the door.
It's like a club you're trying to get into. That is crazy.
Right?
But I mean, it makes sense because it's an employee store, okay. Right? Like that, I totally understand. I'm sure nobody's going to be like, you know, taking your shoes at the door kind of thing, but it's a respect thing, right? Like do they really stop people? Have you seen anybody stop?
They will refuse your service.
Hey, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
The Adidas store doesn't. So the Adidas employee store, they don't think they should less. And they make jokes about it when you're in there. Cause they'll have like a Nike hat on or like, I'll put Adidas shoes on, but like I'll have one random article and I'll be cross-dressing. And it's like, they'll make a joke like, oh, don't worry, we'll still help you. It's like, okay, cool.
Well, that's good to know.
So going back to the easy basketball shoe, how do you guys think this is going to be received? And obviously, you know, PJ Tucker, we've been talking about, I think it becomes kind of interesting because you've got James Harden, you've got, you know, Dame Lillard, you've got, these guys have, you know, Donovan Mitchell, they have their own signature shoe already. So it makes me wonder who's going to actually play in this shoe. And if they're playing in the Yeezy shoe, it seems like it's not going to actually help the sales of their own signature shoes. So I'm wondering what this does to Adidas basketball because, you know, yeah, it's going to be expensive, but if everybody's playing in it, everybody's going to want it. So now are we going to see like Adidas team shoes that are kind of takedowns of this Yeezy shoe? I mean, there's a lot of like logistics and marketing stuff that's going to be fascinating to watch for me. But I'm betting that they'll do some sort of like everyone almost like the way Yeezy does his fashion shows. Everyone that wears Adidas wears that shoe the first night that it's available. That would be epic to me because it would be like unmistakable. Everybody'd be paying attention. It'd be like, oh, these, you know, 30 or whatever players that are Adidas athletes are wearing this shoe tonight across the NBA. I think that'd be super dope.
Why not? That'd be freaking amazing.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. The shoe's coming out from Adidas now for this next season. I don't know if this is a direct, you know, result of the Yeezy basketball shoe finally coming out, but everyone's shoe has taken a step up for the better. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's shoe, his design was already pretty solid, and it was a value buy. James Harden's fourth model coming out, freaking nice looking basketball shoe. I've seen pictures of, I think it's a Dame 6 now, pretty solid looking shoe, and they get the Yeezy. I mean, they played their cards right. They can make a pretty good step up if they keep with these design changes. I mean, it's still going to be, of course, second to Nike because it's just a numbers game. There's more people signed to Nike than Adidas. But if they can get some of the team guys from Adidas who aren't with a signature shoe inside this Yeezy sneaker, I think you're being in good shape because John Wall isn't playing this season, I don't think, but. Who's signed with Adidas? Any rookies signed with Adidas? That was it. Cam Reddish, did he sign with them, or is he in?
There's one. What's his face? Trae Young.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, what's his face? I just said it. Jaylen Brown earlier. Kyle Lowry. Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley signed.
Yeah, I'm running out.
Patrick Beverley re-signed. Actually,
yeah.
Off topic, but did you see a couple days ago Ric Flair signed a deal with Adidas?
I did.
Woo! Yes, it did.
Sorry. That's my Ric Flair impersonation.
Yeah, I'm not sure like the I don't know, you know, how many players they have in the league right now because people don't stand out, right? You know, but on the entertainment side, Ric Flair, you know, Ninja, Beyonce stuff should be coming out soon. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on at Adidas.
Oh, D Rose.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about D Rose.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm into the shoe. Like, I think it looks super dope. I like the kind of early leaked version where I think Kanye was wearing it, kind of looked like zebra, kind of looked like 3M and neon and all sorts of stuff. That was my favorite of them. The black ones that I've seen like this week are still like attractive looking shoe to me. I'm kind of into it, but I don't know. Like I'm still like hit or miss with Kanye. Like I don't really trust his motivations, I guess is the best way to put it. But so some days I feel like, yeah, I'd love to support him. Other days I just am like, nah.
Not today. What question? What are you liking more, fellas? The Yeezy basketball or the Jordan 34?
Damn easy. Is my pick.
I figured so much. Nick, how about you, man?
I think I like the 34 better. I mean, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about it before we started recording, but the Yeezy I could see wearing casually. I could, you know, it's like, it looks like a pretty dope shoe. The 34 just looks like you came to get down on the court and you're serious about this shit. And to me, that's super dope because it seems like it's been a while since the Jordan really felt that way. You know, not something I would probably wear off the court, you know, at least, you know, maybe with shorts and like basketball shorts or something, but I'm chilling. But yeah, I don't know. It'll depend on the colorways of the 34 because some of the colorways that I've seen are kind of like, meh. What about you?
Well, I'm going to be completely unable to make a decision. I'm just going to have my duffel bag. I'm going to wear my Yeezys to the gym, switch to my Jordan 34s, play ball, and then switch back. that's what's going to happen here.
I mean, that's fair. Best of both worlds, right? So.
But yeah, no, I think the 34 is going to be a better on-court shoe. I would assume the Yeezy would still be serviceable, but it on the flip side, that one, like you said, is going to look better just casually. So I don't know, this thing is two different worlds there.
The Yeezy's a different kind of stunt, though. That's like a whole different ball game looking.
I'm not good enough to play in the Yeezys. I'm not trying to stunt on nobody. I'm just trying to make it through a game at this point.
Right. But damn, if you roll up in those, everyone's going to want to know what they are. Like, I can see a lot of good coming from that.
It's a conversation starter for sure. I can agree with that.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be a conversation starter. I don't know. We'll see. I think obviously the Yeezy will outsell the Jordan just because, you know, it's Kanye and it's going to be hyped up no matter what. But I'm excited about it. Like I said earlier about Puma stuff, I just am excited that there's so much good stuff coming out from all the brands and everybody's just stepping their game up. You know, like we haven't talked about them in a while, but I'm sure New Balance is going to bring some serious stuff to the table too, that, you know, like just everybody with the exception of maybe Reebok is like all in on basketball right now. And it's a good thing for everybody in sneakers, because that's like kind of the driving force in the footwear business, in my opinion. Wrapping up, what do you guys, what's on the radar this weekend? Anything?
You know what? I may not buy them until they go on sale, but I'm pulling the page out of Nick Engvall's book here, and there's a Ghost Racer that is coming out in a Comme des Garçons-esque colorway of the Air Max 180. It's like this black and pink deal. This is wild looking, and I like those.
How about you, Robbie?
For me, it's going to be the next Kobe 4 Protro, the undefeated ones that come out tomorrow.
Good luck, sir.
I'm also trying to get those Jordan React, like the Apex React. They're on Soul Supremacy for like, I think the highest bid is me right now. I'm not going to say what it is. So if anybody listens, they can. But I'm the highest bidder right now and it's low. So I hope to get those.
What about you, man?
You know, I'm going to try to get those Adapt Huaraches, the yellow pair. I don't know if I'm going to. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try. But it's hard to imagine spending $350 on a pair of shoes, though. So, other than that, like, man, there's so many Pharrell shoes that are coming out this week. I don't know if they're, I think they're tomorrow or they might have been today. Like all those shoes, like I would wear just about any of those shoes. It's just I don't want to spend, you know, $200+ on them. I mean, I know the solar hues are like 160, but the BYWs are super dope, but $220, nah, you know.
Wait for those, because on the resale market, the BYWs, except for very select few colorways, are very much under retail. Like there's a couple pairs. Like, I think I don't know if it's Chinese New Year, was the red with the gold trim on it, and then the white or pink with the white. They're both like $100 on StockX.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll probably hold off on those. Obviously, the NMDs, like the black and gum, are super dope too. But I don't know. It's one of those things where if I end up getting the adapts, like that'll be my, you know, that'll be my budget for quite a while. So, anyway, let's wrap up. And if you're still listening, let us know what you're picking up this weekend. Drop a comment on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you want to connect with us. If you're on Patreon, make sure you check out some of the recent posts, because we got a new way for you to connect with us, which I'll leave it at that. And thanks for listening. And if I don't know. Anything else you guys got going on before we get out of here?
No.
Ric Flair drip say woo on it.
Yeah. Well, my name is Nick Engvall. You can follow me at Nick Engvall on all platforms. More importantly, just follow at Sneaker History on all platforms. And guys, let them know how they can find you.
Yeah, always go to Sneaker History to find us all. You are looking for me, I'll be on Instagram or Twitter under MadWatcher789. Robbie, where you at, buddy?
I'm at RAHBEE702. I always sound so labored saying that, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
As always, we appreciate everybody listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
See ya.
Bye.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to thank you again for listening to this episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. Remember, you can save 15% on Shrine Co. bags with the code HISTORY15 at the website theshrine.co, theshrine.co. If you enjoyed this episode, consider leaving us a review on iTunes. And if you want even more sneaker history content, join our Patreon page for exclusive episodes and merchandise. As always, thank you for the support, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.